If you think weak bones are just part of getting older or something you only need to worry about later on in life, this episode might completely change how you see aging. Bone loss doesn't start when you're 70. It actually quietly starts in your 30s and 40s, and most people do not feel it happening at all. Today, we're talking about bone health in a different way. Carolyn Zollmeyer is back, and she is a nurse practitioner and founder of Low TE Florida. And she has helped tens of thousands of patients optimize their hormones and protect their long-term health. And today, we're breaking down why bone strength is actually a hormone issue, why most people are what most people are missing, and how to protect your body now and not later. Carolyn, it's so great to see you and chat with you.
Oh, nice to see you again too. Yeah, what I'd like to do today is to really kind of explore osteoporosis. What is it, and how do the hormones intertwine with that? What causes it? What can we do to make things better? Because we think of osteoporosis as a chronic disease affecting some women, not all women, but some women and some men. Very few men, but more women than men, and it is when the bones become weak and porous and more prone to fractures. And as we age, of course, we don't need a broken hip, when we're 80. And we want to keep our bones nice and strong, and we can. It's often called a silent disease, meaning you may not feel it or notice it. You won't unless you start noticing, weird fractures happening. But usually the fractures would be in the spine or the hip or the wrist. I remember some elderly ladies that would just hit their wrist on the counter and break it, because their bones were so brittle. So we don't want to age like that. Our whole goal with what we do is setting ourselves up for a good old age, is what I think of, because my mother's 91, clear as a bell, still going to water aerobics and singing in the choir. And that's a good thing to shoot for. And she had the benefit, and she has very strong bones. She had the benefit of estrogen as she aged. And that makes such a big difference, because the way our bones work is they're kind of like our skin cells. They're constantly remodeling, rebuilding, shedding and building. And we want to keep them as strong as possible. There's two major things to think about bone. There's the osteoclasts that are reabsorbing the old bone, and then the osteoblasts are rebuilding. They're like picture them like on scaffolding. They're rebuilding your bone. So we love our osteoblasts. And then you need a healthy balance between those two, so you're not losing more before you're rebuilding. And that's what can happen, because the estrogen actually helps slow the osteoclast process, and then also increase the rebuilding of the bone. The hormones we use, your estrogen starts to decline, and it can start to decline, like you said, in your late 30s, 40s, certainly by 50s. And so you want to get on this beforehand, and you just so that you're going to set yourself up to have a good old age, like I said. The progesterone that we use also supports new bone formation. The testosterone we use actually helps relay bone and actually can do corrective measures. Even if you've already started in the process, usually if you do a bone density test, which is good to do, I like to start at age 40 and then do them every 2 to 3 years thereafter, whatever your insurance allows up there. But the bone density test will tell you what your status is. Are you good? Is everything perfect? Fabulous. You're doing the right thing. You're doing your weight-bearing exercise, meaning putting pressure on your long bones, like walking, stair-stepper, that type of thing. And then also your diet, are you eating your broccoli? Are you bringing in good nutrients that help support your bones? And supplements, vitamin A, D, and K is critical for bone health. And if you're not having your vitamin D tested, you should, because vitamin D is interesting. I thought, because I live down here in Florida where we have the beach, the boats, the sun all the time, that most people would have a good level of vitamin D. Over 90% of the people I test, which I test every new patient, is down low in a scary level, like below the reference range. Our reference range here is 30 to 100, which it could be different in Canada. And so we want you up like in the upper quartile, like 60 to 80. And most people are at like 24, 30, And so what we do is we encourage a supplementation. We have it here. It's called vitamin A, D, and K. And we have two different levels of it. And what the D3 does is that it increases the calcium absorption from the gut of all your good nutrients that you're eating to help naturally, when you're eating your broccoli, your things that are high in more calcium, your milk and all that. And then it also helps maintain the serum levels of calcium. When you get your blood work back, it'll have the calcium level on it. The K2 is interesting because it helps bind the calcium to the bone, and it also works as a traffic director for the vitamin D, meaning it directs the calcium into your bones and teeth where you need it. If you don't have a good level of vitamin A, D, and K, it can it's supportive for the bones and for the teeth, for your mood. And actually, a lot of people feel like their depression lifts a little bit with vitamin D. And then also for your immune support that's based in your gut, it's important. The vitamin A, going back to the osteoblasts that are rebuilding the bone, that helps with bone formation. And it's important to have all three of these. If you're taking just D3, it could be redepositing, or calcium could be redepositing into your joints or in your kidneys as a deposit. We don't want that. So we need that K2 to direct it in the right direction, but we also need the A that helps with the absorption. So it's kind of a combination of all these things that'll go together. Clinically, what I've seen is I'll have women come to me with their bone density, and it'll show, like, say, osteopenia, which is a beginning. The bone density will show, like, oh, you're normal, everything's great, or osteopenia, which is a beginning of osteoporosis, which is great. If we see that, we could shut it down and get it fixed before you get into osteoporosis. And even if they are into osteoporosis, starting with a testosterone pellet, which gives a sustained release of the testosterone, is going to actually rebuild that bone and help correct it. And I've seen it clinically many, many times where the numbers just keep getting better over time. I had one lady that she was older, and she came to me, and she was all the way into osteoporosis. And we treated her for a couple of years, redid the bone density test, and she was crying. She was so happy. She says, my numbers are correcting. She says, I never thought this would happen. She says, I was so afraid I was going to have a bad old age like my mother, who had severe osteoporosis. She had the Dowager's hump, and she was fracturing bones left and right and just had a horrible old age. She says, that's what I was thought I was destined for. And we've actually turned the cart around, and she walks to her appointments from a couple miles away. I mean, she's doing her weight-bearing exercise. She's, focusing on her nutrition. She's very steady with her vitamin A, D, and K. And what we do is we like to test the vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin, meaning if you have too much of it, it can stack up, and we don't want that. So we like to measure it, say, every 6 months or so, just to make sure you're in the safe zone with it. There are some experts out there encouraging a super high level of vitamin D, but I've had some patients that had some pancreas concerns when we went too high. So I'm very kind of cautious on that. I go a little bit more conservative. I don't go super physiological on the D, maybe with the testosterone, but not with the D. So the hormone replacement therapy we are doing works complementary with the AD and K and your diet and your exercise to help bring up the bone balance and, making sure your bones are turning over, but also replacing with good bone. Calcium as a supplement is no longer recommended, meaning if you take calcium alone, if you think about it, they use calcium to set up cement. And how many sidewalks do you see that are cracked? So it may make your bones hard, but it may be more prone to fracture. So what they're saying, and plus the calcium, if you take it alone, can redeposit in your shoulder joints or in your kidneys and cause problems. And so, and that's where you want to be checking your serum levels as well, which we do on our annual exams. So, what questions do you have?
So, are you saying that, like, what are the early signs of bone loss? And if someone is in their 30s and or 40s, should and they feel fine, should they be already thinking about their bones? And like, what are some early signs of
There's
maybe
not
bad bone health?
signs or symptoms unless you get a weird fracture that shouldn't have happened. Like you hit your wrist against a desk and it breaks. It's like, okay, that's raising a flag. If you fall and break your hip when you're young, that's a sign. We need to look at the strength of the bones. And also, if they do, God forbid, get a fracture, the ADK10, all this, the hormones are going to help rebuild that bone quicker than somebody that's not on hormone replacement therapy or not focusing on their diet or their supplements. Everybody, I think, at age 40 should at least get a density, a DEXA scan. They're inexpensive. You get them like where you go for your mammograms. And it's a very simple test, very quick, non-invasive. They just do it. And they're basically scanning usually a hip joint and other parts, maybe, depends on the machine. But that will give you at least a starting point. So we can look back and say, at age 40, my bones were perfect. Okay, what happened between 40 and 50? Oh, my estrogen dropped. I didn't go on hormone therapy. I didn't take my supplements. I was eating a crappy diet and I wasn't exercising. Okay, yeah, I earned it. Okay, but what can we do to rebuild it? What can we do to rebuild it? And I've just laid it all out there, how to rebuild it. So hormone
Okay.
optimization, supplementation, good diet, and exercise.
Amazing. So let's just explain to the audience a little bit more about the roles of the hormones and how they affect the bones. So you were talking about testosterone. So what role does testosterone play in bone density? And is this something that is a risk for both men and women?
Yes, absolutely. You see it traditionally what they teach us in school is it's usually a slender white woman disease. Meaning if you picture the old lady with a bump on her back, you know, the dowager's hump, that's your traditional osteoporosis patient. I'm built more like a Clydesdale rather than a thoroughbred like you. You know, so you may have a tendency to have osteoporosis versus somebody who's been, you know, I've played competitive athletics, you know, softball, ran marathons, the whole thing all my life. And so I have very strong bones. You know, my doctor once told me, you know, a freight train couldn't break my bones, you know, because they were so strong. But the testosterone actually relays bone. I mean, that's how we corrected that woman. And I've seen it time and time again with women, even younger women that are concerned about their bone health, doing the bone density, seeing it's in osteopenia. Treat them for a couple of years with testosterone pellets because before menopause, testosterone is really all you should need, if not a little bit of whisper of estrogen. It depends on your levels and progesterone, but the testosterone alone will actually help rebuild that bone. And then, you know, the reason women are getting the osteoporosis is from not enough estrogen and testosterone. So getting that going is going to help with the bone reabsorption and slow the bone loss and improve the density and the strength of the bones. And that's our goal.
Okay, and then how does estrogen fit into this?
Well, estrogen re reduces the bone reabsorption, meaning it slows down that process where your osteoclasts are taking away the bone. And so it slows that down. That's estrogen's role in that. And then the testosterone is going to help rebuild it back up. But my mother was not on testosterone therapy. She was just on the estrogen therapy and progesterone. And it really made a nice difference for her bones. You know, plus that she played tennis till she was 82. So she was doing her work of doing the weight-bearing exercise. So everybody's different and you just kind of need to do your best, but you can do your investigation, you know, into your bones now and see if there's something that needs to be fixed. But if you get the testosterone pellet, you're getting a continual delivery of the testosterone versus rubbing a cream on, getting a whole bunch, it wearing down, or, you know, so that's why I love the pellet system, because it's more continuous and you get the health benefits of the hormones, like decreased cardiac issues, osteoporosis, arthritis, Alzheimer's, dementia, and even breast cancer. So, yeah.
Yeah, there was some. So I've been hearing a little bit of concern with, I guess, pellets. And some people feel that their metabolism, if they have a high metabolism, they may eat through it quickly. Can you debunk some of these myths? And I've also heard that things like being outside and if you're, you know, in hot environments for long periods of time and you have the pellet that it could eat through it a lot quicker as well. Can you talk about that?
When I've never heard that with that sunshine one, and I'm here in Florida, so you would think I would know that one. So the sun one, bonk, that's nothing. If you have the way the pellet works is it's cardio released rather than time released. meaning when your blood supply passes by it, it picks up the little pieces of hormone and just gently raises your levels up over the first 4 to 6 weeks, and then hold them steady for 3 to 5 months for women, 5 to 7 months for men. And if you are, let's see, I get you started on your hormones, and all of a sudden you feel like Superwoman and you want to train for a triathlon, your heart rate's going to be going faster, you're going to be picking up more, but you're going to have better workouts and you're going to feel better than, say, a couch potato that's just laying there watching, Lifetime movies, that's not picking up a lot. Theirs may last longer, but you're going to feel better if you're moving. The pellets really work well with people that exercise, that keep their body moving, get their heart rate up, and get the absorption of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a big misconception is people, their health starts to fail and they go on something like hormone therapy and they feel like that's the answer. But we still have to do all the other things.
Yeah, we all want the quick fix. We want a pill that makes us skinny. We want, all these good things, but you have to do your work, and that's what I've learned over time is that, you kind of get out of life what you put into it, and if you do your best, your body's going to function better, you're going to feel better, you're going to be happier and have a better life.
Absolutely. So I know you mentioned this a little earlier, but you were talking about vitamin D and K2. And so everyone has heard of vitamin D. So can you just explain a little bit as to why vitamin D needs K2 for absorption? And what happens if you take D without the K2?
Yeah, what happens with the D without the K2? You can deposit the calcium away from the bones into the soft tissues, and so we want the calcium that we're bringing in to go to the right places. So I picture the K2 like a traffic director. Go this way, not this way, and so that's what it's helping, but it's also helping bind the calcium to the bone. D3 is great. I mean, it's just going to help you absorb more, and it's essential for maintaining your calcium levels is to have a good vitamin D3.
And so you've also talked about, you live in Florida and most of your patients are deficient in vitamin D. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. It just seems like we're not absorbing it like we did before. And you would, a lot of people want to say, oh, we're wearing sunblock now. Well, in all honesty, the only sunblock I wear is on my face, and my vitamin D levels are low. And I go on the boat, I live in the sun, I have a pool, the whole thing. And it's just we're not absorbing it. And I'm not sure why, but we're not. So it's good to be aware of that, because you think, oh, I have a nice balanced diet, I must have enough vitamin D. I play tennis, I'm in the sun, it could be low, and then, but I do have some people, like I was speaking with a woman this morning that doesn't take any supplements at all, and her vitamin D was like at 50, which is good. We prefer 60 to 80, but without a supplement to be at 50 is fabulous. I don't know why she's British. You would think that, she's hasn't been hanging out in the sun.
Wow. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it just goes to show that every body is so uniquely different.
That's why we have to personalize treatment with hormones, with supplements, everything. Got to
Yeah.
first, because if I get, like, say, for hormone replacement therapy, if I give you the same dose as another woman that's your same height and weight, in 6 weeks when we test your labs, they can be totally different. And so that's how we zero in and get your dosing precise. I'm good at starting, I've been doing this for 100 years. I pelleted over 26,000 people now. And so I got the dosing down where I've got you pretty dialed in on the first pellet, but then we test the levels at 6 weeks later. Plus, we want to check in with you and see what symptoms have been relieved and what hasn't. And if they haven't and your labs allow for it, we can always give you more. And we do that for no charge. We just want to get you to the happy place comfortably and safely.
Right, 100%. And so we talked a little bit about exercise as well. So what is enough? What exercise is enough? Is walking enough in order to help the bones?
Walking is great, and because what you're doing when you're walking, you're pounding on your feet, and it's stimulating the turnover of the bone in the long bones, which is where you make your red blood cells. And it just really is a very good way to keep your bones healthy is the walking. And it doesn't have to be a lot. It can be 20 to 30 minutes, 5 days out of 7. But just keep it moving.
Yeah, 100%. So I often hear women in their 40s and 50s talk about doing strength training. So what role does strength training play in terms of bone loss?
Strength training is good as well because you are doing weight-bearing exercise, so that is good. And what we've learned recently is for aging well, the best exercise is walking and weightlifting. You don't need to be doing all the other stuff. It's just walking and weightlifting is your best shot at setting your body up for a good old age.
Right. Okay. And so for the people who are out there, they're in their 30s and 40s, they're starting to think about their bones. What should they be doing right now?
Well, tuning up their diet, and you can, Google what are good vegetables for my bones, of course broccoli is going to pop up there at the top, maybe eggs, and then get that baseline of the bone density test. Ask your doctor, and some doctors don't want to prescribe it, and I don't understand their resistance. I just tell me I want a baseline because my mother had osteoporosis. She didn't, but that's what they can say. And especially if they're thin with thin bones, little wrists, that's a little sign that you could be at higher risk. You want your bone density to find out where you are because you want to be proactive and have a good old age. And I don't know why doctors won't write it. I mean, I have a gynecologist down the road that refuses to write it. And I'm like, I'll write it. I'll give you the prescription. Go get it done. Let's discuss it. But it's funny because the reports for the bone density aren't real clear. It's not like when we get our mammogram reports, it says benign. So we know everything's normal, BI-RADS 1, that's all good, very clear. With a bone density, it's going into all the measurements. And you have to take, as a provider, you have to take a minute and sit down and really look at it to get to the bottom of it. And to really understand what they're saying. And different bone density machines and providers can produce a totally different report. So I find it's good, if possible, to have your bone density done at the same place at, every couple years, rather than bouncing around, so that you have the same machine, same interpreter, the whole thing. And it's kind of the same for mammograms because I feel like the mammogram is kind of like a fingerprint. And if you don't go to the same place, you're setting yourself up for unnecessary testing. Like, because if they can look back at last year's mammogram and compare it, oh, that little calcium deposit was there, we don't need to test it. Or this little lump was there, this little cyst, it hasn't changed over a year, so there's nothing cooking. So, having that consistency of going to the same testing facilities, I think, is important.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what is a bone density test? How does it work?
The one I did, I actually laid on a x-ray table, and they had a machine that came over me and measured my hip bones, and I think my wrist, forearm, and it's just like an imaging. It's like I don't feel anything, and I don't think there's any harmful rays that you're getting from it. And then it just within a day or two, the provider gets a nice report, and a lot of times it's in color, it's very pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, when I think of a bone density test, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad I asked because I think of like, how are they going to test my bones without
Yeah.
like touching them or taking, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. No, it's a scan, like an x-ray, that they're seeing your joints. They focus in on different places, and to know that your hips are in good shape, your spine is in good shape, that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. I know so many people struggling with pains and issues with their backs. And there's nothing more frustrating than getting these tests back and not seeing anything wrong, but feeling crappy. And I'm sure you hear that all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah, because just and then to have your doctor tell you that you're normal when you still feel like crap, that's not what nice. What we like to do is to evaluate them, the labs, and we know clinically where we can get you feeling better. And it may not be in that reference range. That reference range is usually for people in your age group that don't feel so well, that aren't getting treatment. And so you have to be able to think outside the box and go a little bit outside the reference range to feel well many times.
Yeah, absolutely. Carolyn, is there anything that you think we missed on this topic?
Wow. I think the thing to remember is that hormones and nutritional supplements don't just affect how you feel on a daily basis, but they directly impact how strong your bones are going to be for the rest of your life. And treating hormone imbalances is not just about the symptoms, it's about prevention. And that's, what I talk about a lot is that, okay, yourself, let's say your thyroid's low. I'm going to correct you to the upper quartile of the range to where you really feel well. And you may not feel it when you take the pill, but if you miss it after you've been on it, you'll realize how much good it's doing. So there can be subtle changes, even with the vitamin D. I mean, I was surprised when I had patients say, "Oh, I take it in the morning because it makes me feel so happy." I'm like, "Oh, it makes you feel happy. I'm so busy doing stuff, I don't plug into all this." And they're like, "Yeah, absolutely." And the reason I've talked to experts about this, that they recommend that you take your vitamin D first thing in the morning. And it's because of your kind of like mimicking nature with the sunshine, so that you want to have that during the day, not before you go to bed.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like going or what's the word I'm looking for? Up with the sun and down with the sun, right? Like we have to go, our bodies have, we have to train our bodies along with the rhythm of the world, right?
Yeah, circadian rhythms. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for this discussion. I feel like I'm looking at bones in a different way. And I'm really thinking about life in a holistic standpoint, because I just like, lately, Carolyn, I've just been seeing so many people that are struggling, especially women with hormones, and they're feeling crappy at such young ages, like 35. And I'm just like starting to ask myself, like, why is this happening? And what are we going to do about it? So
I think we're talking about it more, which is fabulous. And there's a lot more on social media about hormones and all that. But what I found interesting when I first started doing hormones is that I would find young women with low testosterone, like so low you couldn't even measure it. And that's a real feel-good hormone. I remember this young girl that came in and she says, and she had just had a baby. And I think having a baby can kind of tank your testosterone, and it may be part postpartum depression is having the low testosterone, and especially like after the second baby. But she had had a baby, and she came in and she says, "I just don't understand it. I've got a perfect life. I've got a great husband. I got a great house. My baby is healthy and happy. But I just don't have that loving feeling for my husband. I don't have that chemical desire." And she says, "I need to have that." And I tested her hormones, and her testosterone was so low that we couldn't even measure it. And I corrected her, which was, I usually try not to dabble in the 20s, but she was like at the top of the 20s. And I gave her the testosterone. She came back 6 weeks later, and she said she felt like Superwoman. She had her life back. And you have to think about it. It's not your brain that's the problem. It's just you don't have the chemicals that you need to feel well. And give them back. I mean, what we're giving you is basically the same chemical molecule as what your ovaries used to produce for both testosterone and estradiol. And if you can get those, they can work synergistically with your supplements, like the AD and K all works together. It's the same with your hormones to get you feeling your best.
Yeah, and I think we have to stop associating age with these types of things, because someone yesterday, they're like, "Why are you on hormone therapy? You're 42." And they're like, "Aren't you a little bit young for that?" And I'm like, "Well, you have to look at it from a different perspective, because bodies are so unique and so different, right?" And so I think we have to like get age out of it and just treat people for what they show up like. And that's what you do so beautifully.
Thanks. Yeah, everybody's different, and you got to just respect that.
Yeah, and the last thing I want to say is like to advocate for yourself, because if I wouldn't have talked to you, I wouldn't have advocated for a testosterone test, because when I went to see my doctor, she said to me, "Testosterone is a male hormone." And then I said, but I have testosterone in my body too. And so let's test it. I want to see what it is. And so if it weren't for me advocating for myself, she wouldn't have put that in the blood work. And
Yeah.
so I think,
Cool.
like you said, talking about this and just getting the information and education out there is so important. So women and men can advocate for themselves when perhaps their provider isn't educated in these areas.
Yeah, that's the sad part is traditional medicine is not trained in bioidentical hormones, and so they don't know it. And so many times, like your doctor, they're giving you wrong information. Your ovaries produce testosterone. Why is that considered a man's hormone? You know, just because they have more, you know, they have, you know, 10 times more than what we have naturally, it doesn't mean it's a male hormone. Men have estrogen too, but we think of estrogen as a female hormone. Men need estrogen, not a lot, but some, you know, so to have the male female thing on the hormones is just bunk, you know. And so I'm glad more and more providers are becoming aware of it. But one thing to watch out for are doctors or practitioners that go to a weekend course and then want to inflict their lack of knowledge on you. You want to do your research and find a provider that knows what they're talking about, not just trying to take your money. Because a lot of times it's a cash practice. I don't know how it is up there. In Canada, but here it can be a money maker for the practitioners, and they just go to, you know, what can I do to increase my income? Okay, let's go do hormones. But then they don't really know it, love it, feel passionate about it the way I do. And if you don't, you're just doing, you know, it's like, you know, hitting the time clock. You know, I'm going to work. Yeah, I'll throw some pellets in. Yeah, I think it might well work, you know, but it gives a pellet business or procedure kind of a bad rap if we have people just throwing, you know, not dosing it properly or following them properly or dealing with any untoward effects that may show up. Like if you have a built up endometrial lining, it could cause spotting and then we need to deal with that. But if they don't know how to deal with it, it's not good. You know, then they send them to me, oh, good. I get to clean up your mess.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you so much for being here and for talking about all of this stuff related to our bone health. It was very informative. Where can people find more information about you?
I have a very good website with lots of information at Low, LOW, T as in Tom, E as in Edward, Florida spelled out .com, LowTEFlorida.com. And there on the there is a little on the front page, you can put in a thing to get me where I can send you my book and we don't charge for it. Because I want to just my the goal of writing my book was just to share the good news about hormone therapy. You know, I've been doing it for 100 years, and there's been so many doubting Thomases and so much bad research out there, misinformation, that I just wanted to put it all together in a book and make it in an easy to read way. And just to lay out what are the different hormones, how can they benefit you? You know, what are the risks? What are the benefits? And I did that. I included the supplements. I went into thyroid pretty deep. And you know, I've gotten very good reviews on it. And if they want to learn more about hormones, that's the best way. If you're from out of the United States, you can always go on Amazon and it's inexpensive. You can order it there. And it's also an audio book if you like listening to books rather than reading.
Absolutely. It was the first thing I went to when I have it right here. And when I was having issues a few weeks ago, I was like, I need this book right now. And it was so informative and it taught me so much about hormone health. So we'll make sure to have that information in the show notes for everyone listening. Thanks again for being here. And to our audience, thank you so much for joining us. I think it's so powerful to understand the body and to know how this works so we can be advocates for our own health. As we age, we do not have to feel crappy. And so stay tuned for the next episode. And thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, take care, everyone.
Okay. Thank